You go right through here. Through here. Through the set. Through the doors right that way. The rest needs to be right around the corner. Okay.
Thank you.
Roulette just walked around and talked.
I'll stay still.
Didn't go up. He stayed down. You want to go back up?
Yeah, I'll go up. I needed some place to put my stuff.
Okay. Yeah, you just have to kick that mic on. Let me go do that for you.
No, I do it. Is it on the... Is it on just a button?
It's just the top.
Okay. I don't think he thinks he's going to do it. How you doing, buddy? What's up, Benjamin? You taking good pictures?
Except for the main sections.
Oh, that's right.
All right, we will go ahead and get started early. This is an 11 o'clock session. We'll go from 11 to 11:30. This is using technology in the industry to pass the ball. Hold your applause, please.
They have. They have held their applause. Right, Corey?
Yes, sir.
All right. Does everyone have a handout? Those of you that are really techie will be underwhelmed by the amount of information. Sorry, Jake. But these are just a few practical things that we do as it relates to technology in ministry. I think that we are... This is an area that at Faith Baptist Church we are increasing. We are putting more resources into. We are putting more time into, and I would expect us to continue with this. These are a few things that we do. Technology and ministry. We've been using Twitter and Facebook to connect with members and non-members alike over the last couple of years. Speaking specifically of social media, that's a couple of the platforms that we use. A question arose recently about using technology in ministry, so that it makes us think, do we use technology enough in ministry, or do we use it too much? Do we rely on it too much? A couple of the things that we do, we do announcements, Wednesday night Bible study lessons on PowerPoint. We also do notes for monthly deacons meetings on PowerPoint. So we do use technology. We are limited in our facilities. Those of you that have been to our church know you can tell that it's not a new building. So we are limited some way with our facilities. There is only so much that you can do with the setup that we have. We have modernized it as far as the sound room goes. I mean, the sound room is much different. Ben can tell you that's taking pictures. The sound room is much different than what it was 9 years ago or 7 years ago. It's changed dramatically. We live stream each church service, which is really neat. And so we have a camera that's set up in the balcony, a video camera. And this year in 2014, we'll purchase another camera. So we use technology in the service. As we get started, I want to talk about a couple of things. What if technology doesn't work? What will we do? Will we survive? Here are a couple of thoughts as it pertains to using technology in your ministry. First of all, I want to talk about technology in worship services. This is specifically during worship hour. This is specifically during the morning, Sunday morning service, thus Sunday night service, Wednesday night service. Technology is just a couple of ideas about things. Number one, I think it's important to live within your means. You do not have to have technology to share the gospel. Some people think that they must have technology to win more people. The gospel is powerful and life-changing all by itself without technology. It does not have to have technology. Technology does not give the gospel power. The gospel is powerful enough some churches that don't have the capability or means to incorporate technology, some are not able to do that. Don't let that stop you from sharing the gospel. Still share the gospel regardless of or if you have the means to use technology. I think that it's probably common for churches, and I would say ours included, that we would look at a big church or a church that's been built recently and think, wow, I wish that we could do that. I wish that we could have all the integration of the PowerPoint and the screen and the lights, and we could have the songs up on the screen. I know that's a questionable issue, but I wish that we could do all these things, and technologically, I wish that we could live stream and have multiple camera angles and all that in the perfect lighting, and we can get envious because of that, and that's not right, and that's not right. That's not right to be that way. We, like I say, our facility is aged. Our church was built in the 50s. The part that the auditorium was built later than that, but the church is an older church. So there are limitations because of that. And as the church grows, you add a screen. As the church grows, you add a soundboard. As the church grows, you add a video screen in the back. As the church grows, you add speakers in the. And so it wasn't all done at once. And so it's a little hodgepodge, but we've tried to make it work. When we show a video at our church and we have to dim the lights, one of the staff members who will be sitting upon the stage, has to sneak off around outside of the back of the stage and dim the lights by ourselves. So let's not be envious of places that maybe are able to do that. We need to live within our means. If we're not able to afford it, then maybe we have a plan to integrate some of it slowly into our ministries. But let's definitely live within our means, and let's not completely rely on it. If it doesn't work, know how to roll with it. How many of us have seen that? How many of us have been at a place, and you can tell that it's so heavily relied on technology that a crowd is all waiting for the screen to come down, and it doesn't come down, and the service comes to a complete stop because of those type of things. Be prepared for it to work perfectly, and be prepared for it to not work at all. Then you'll be fine. If it does not work, and you cannot function, you're using it too much and relying on it too much. If it totally derails the whole sermon because your PowerPoint doesn't work, you're relying on it too much. If you have to stop preaching and send everybody home because the last 15 minutes of your sermon or last 10 minutes of your sermon was going to be a video, then you're relying on it too much. We need to balance all of that out. We should be able to effectively share the gospel without a stitch of technology. It's important why technology can be used, and we'll talk about some ways that we use it, and I think that it should be used. We should be able to effectively share the gospel and witness and tell people of Christ and proclaim the saving gospel of Christ without technology. Consider the culture of your church, point number three. Some churches are not into technology as much as others. And be careful, especially if you are a new addition to the church, whether you're a pastor or someone that's just newly been involved with the ministries of your church, be careful not to overstep your bounds. Be careful not to blow right past your church and the culture of your church. Be considerate of who your church is. In so many areas, if we could get to the point in church, and this is a hobby horse that I won't ride on, but if we could get to the point in our church that we are so going to avoid offending people that are Christian brothers and sisters, I think we'll be better Christians for it. Are there things technologically speaking in our church that I would like to do? Absolutely. But I understand that there are things that people are not comfortable with. We are working with, and we've been saving towards and investing towards. We'd like to do a video podcast with Pastor Monty. But that was a matter of really kind of getting the leadership of our church to understand why we wanted to do that, and working with the men of the church. Instead of investing all of this money and equipment and saying fooey on them because they don't understand it, I don't want to be an offense to the men of our church. I don't want to be an offense to the leadership of our church. I don't want to be an offense to the people of our church. I would definitely not go against those. So consider the culture of your church. Don't allow it to replace the Word. The truth of the Word of God should be your main focus. If something, this is important, if something with technology goes wrong, step one, just turn it off quickly. Turn it off quickly. The last thing that I want to see is the media team trying for 5 minutes to get something on the screen. To see that little mouse floating around on the screen trying to click something open or maximize the window. I don't want to see that. We occasionally will have issues with playing videos. And it's easy to keep trying, but it shows a lack of professionalism. And it's an embarrassment. And I think that it's a pet peeve more than anything. But just be mindful of that. And probably what that means to do is when it comes to audio-video issues, sound checks. We still have sound checks every week. Sound checks. It's important to, if you have a video coming up, then you preview the video. You play the video just as it would be played in front of your church. Excuse me. You play the video just as it would be played. If you have a sound clip, play the sound clip just as it would be played. If you have a PowerPoint presentation, go through the different slides. If there's something embedded with that, you follow all of those things all the way through. It's a little bit time consuming, but it's a whole lot better than in the middle of the service. The Holy Spirit's working, and then something just drops out, and you're goofing around. Your audio video team's goofing around for 5 minutes trying to bring something back up, and it just comes to a crashing halt, and that detracts from the Word of God. So that's a few things about technology and worship services. Let's move on to social media. Pardon me. Social media included Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. It amazes me, and it probably amazes you, how much private information people will share with each other on Facebook on any given day. It's shocking sometimes, isn't it, how much information that we share. I don't spend an exuberant amount of time on Facebook and Twitter, but I do because I manage the Facebook and Twitter accounts for Faith Baptist Church, and so I do spend some time on there. And yes, I have a personal Facebook and a personal Twitter, so I goof around on there sometimes. But it amazes me how much time people spend on that. And I'll tell you this though, within a short amount of time, as a youth pastor in particular, I can. It doesn't take long for me to discover needs that are apparent in my flock. And so Facebook, you can call me a Facebook stalker, whatever you might call it. As a youth pastor, I think better meet the needs of those that I minister to by seeing what they put publicly on Facebook and on publicly on Twitter. But we can see people who are crying out. We can see people who are seeking for identity and purpose. Single moms that are struggling to make ends meet. Sickness. Widows battling loneliness. Young parents seeking wisdom for important decisions as they need to be making in their lives. Adults with challenging financial matters. Husbands asking for advice on marital relationships, challenges, and many, many other things. That said, I think that it's important. Now, your church and your pastor will set the vision and the direction for your church in this matter. But I do think that carefully and wisely used, that social media can help address the needs of your church. Pastor Monty hates Facebook. He allows us to do Facebook. We have a church Facebook account. He's totally fine with it. He's a Twitter junkie, kind of, so he's all for Twitter. We were trying to get him to sign up for Twitter a few years ago, and I'm not going to sign up for all that. I hate Facebook. I hate Twitter. But when we explained to him that Twitter, you don't have friends, you have followers. And because you have followers, he was all on board with it. He thought, cool, I don't want friends, I want followers. And so, but he is, so he's not on Facebook, but he knows that there is a value to our church having a presence on Facebook and Twitter both. And so we do that. So here are three ways to set your church up for success, I believe, using social media. Number one, construct a plan. construct a plan. Without a plan in place, success using social media just isn't going to be possible. It's too easy to push it aside when you don't have time for it. Put a plan together for how many updates to social media per day, per week, etc. Pray about the purpose for your church and plan according to how God is leading you. Plan out your Facebook posts for the week, your Twitter tweets for the week. Plan all of those things out. On Mondays or Tuesdays, whenever you start to put all that together, make a plan for the entire week. If you wanted to make a monthly plan, you could do that as well. But plan out how many posts that you're going to make, when you're going to make the post. You can have it automatically updated. But you can do that at the beginning of the week, so have a plan. Have a plan, because what will happen, just like with anything else that we don't have a plan for, it'll get pushed to the side of those things that we do have plans for, and it'll never get accomplished. So if social media is one of those things that you'd like for your church to have a greater presence in, then you must have a plan of attack for it. You must have a post plan of time to post. Number two, put someone in charge. If you don't assign someone to the responsibility of your social media, it just plain won't happen. At Faith Baptist Church, I'm the one in charge of the Facebook and the Twitter. And though I'm not an expert, though I could learn from probably many of you on these type of things, I am the person in charge. I'm the point person for the Twitter and the Facebook page. And so I have a plan on how many tweets and how many, you know, once a day or twice a day. The conference has been coming up. And so it's kind of like tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet, or Facebook post after Facebook post, a lot of them. So they increase, and they'll have seasons of that. But have someone and responsibility of doing that. It's best to have one person that's administratively gifted to see the posting, and perhaps the pastor to oversee posts, or however he wants to delegate that with the planning things, what to say, how to reach people. Are you going to be advertising events? Are you going to have sign-ups that are available online? Is it going to redirect people to your website? All of those things are things that people should consider, and a particular person in charge will help for that. Be consistent. Lastly, consistency is key with social media. If you have a Facebook page but don't update it, people will lose interest quickly. If you have a Facebook page and you request a bunch of likes, you want people to boost your likes, and you get a lot of likes, and you don't post anything, nobody's going to be watching your page. Nobody's going to be looking at your page. And so the message that you're trying to get out will be frustrated, because nobody's paying any attention to your page because of lack of posting. People need to know that you are there daily and that you care. Posting regular updates and sending regular tweets shows people that you have invested time, that your church has invested time in the social media, and this is a way for them to stay in contact. To stay in contact with your church. Set up regular times to post, or post in advance using programs such as Hootsuite. That'll help organize your tweets, and those can do those automatically. It is one thing for the church to know about social media and tweet randomly, or to post a link on your Facebook page, and a whole other thing for you to actually take time to come up with a working strategy. Your church needs to understand that a target is necessary, goals are established to achieve, and everything is written down so that everyone involved is on the same page. So that's just some general ideas about social media. Let's look particularly at Facebook. Facebook, it's still the king of all social media. Facebook has nearly 7 million users worldwide. Lots of churches have Facebook pages. Unfortunately, people will not come to a Facebook page just because it's built. So just because you have a Facebook page, you may not have traffic on that Facebook page. And here's a few ways to use Facebook effectively for your ministry. Number one, improve how it looks. I've seen churches that don't even bother to upload an image on the main page. So do that. Upload an image of your church, a nice picture of your church. You know, your church may have a beautiful up front to their church, a beautiful entryway, a beautiful profile, a beautiful classic church look maybe. Our church doesn't. And so our church actually, if you've been to our church, you see that really the back of the church faces Rockville Road. When you pull into our church, maybe for the first time, you wondered, this is an odd looking building. This doesn't look like a church. What, I know it's a church because there's a lot of church buses. Now the other side is actually the front of the building. And we do have a few nice pictures of that. And so I've tried to upload some of those pictures. Our music director and business administrator, Stephen Ogden, lives in a parsonage close to the church. And so when we've had all the snow, Stephen has taken some pictures of the church in the snow, which were beautiful pictures. And so during the time of snow and during the time of the winter, I posted some of those pictures. But update the pictures of your church often. Update them seasonally. To get people to kind of get a spring feel about them, maybe take a picture or find a picture that you already have taken, upload a picture of your church in springtime, or maybe just a springtime photo that's maybe not your church. But whatever the case may be, improve how your Facebook page looks. Update your look by posting banners of upcoming events, post photos of past events, videos of sermons or particular ministries. Take time to complete the About section and fill in all the contact information as well. All of the things that are given to you initially when you set up the page, fill out all of those things and then just make it look nice. Just make it look sharp. Pictures of your church. Pictures of the inside of your church. That way visitors, when they come, would feel more comfortable with that. So number two, update your status frequently. Boy, this can't be stressed enough. Believe it or not, most people don't even pay attention to what's in a church bulletin. Has that frustrated any of you pastors that I can have a youth activity that's in a bulletin for 4 weeks, and I'll have parents ask me when the next youth activity is, the night before the youth activity. Nobody reads. I shouldn't say nobody. A lot of people don't even read the bulletin, and so we use our Facebook page, our Twitter account, as well as our church does pre-service PowerPoint slides. We have a screen that drops down in front of the baptistry. Before each service, we have a projector over to the side that projects announcements, upcoming events, sign-ups, and those type of things prior to the beginning of the service, and we use that. We find that we don't waste as many bulletins. We have decreased significantly the number of bulletins that we print out each week, and we have nice bulletins. We have full color on the front. I forget where we get them from. You would recognize the source, I'm sure. Front and back are already pre-printed color. The inside is we print in black and white. But they're nice bulletins. But scores and scores and scores are wasted each week. And so we've dramatically decreased the number of bulletins that we printed because we use the announcements before the service. And then we also use social media to post those type of things. Seeing updates and upcoming events, news, seeing photographs, and seeing a video will help keep them engaged. It allows people to share these experiences with family members or friends. I find that Facebook tends to connect those that are already associated with your church. Twitter seems to connect, for us anyway, seems to connect those that aren't associated with your church. We have a lot of people that follow our Twitter account that have nothing to do with Faith Baptist Church. But if we look through the list of likes for our Facebook page, it's members and friends of members. So Facebook tends to be the social media that will post announcements and sign-ups and things like that. Number three, use a Facebook page, not a personal account. I know that you have to set up a profile to do a person to do a page, but you want to make sure that it's a page, not an account. It gives you more control. A lot of churches do this, and it's a mistake. People don't want to send a friend request to a church account. In order to engage on Facebook, all someone has to do is like that page. Number four, decide on whether to allow people to post to the Facebook page or wall, or only the administrator, only give him administrative rights to do this. Here's a couple of ideas. If you allow others to post to your page wall, monitor it so that inappropriate posts can be dealt with. You can make the wall page a bulletin board to promote events, post prayer requests, upload photos only by the page administrator. This is what we do. That's personally what we do. I know that some places won't necessarily use it as a bulletin board, but particularly that's what we do. As the administrator, I'm the only one that can post things. Now, people can send messages, but it's not seen publicly. That's not right or wrong. That's just what we do. That's just what we've chosen to do. So it all depends on what your kind of philosophy is as you start with that. You can adjust the settings to meet your church's needs. All right, that's Facebook, Twitter. Twitter, despite Twitter's growth, there are many people who still just do not get it when it comes to this technology. I'll admit, when I first started on Twitter, I didn't really get what it was for. And that's probably how I kind of view Instagram that way. I'm not really sure what to do. I know it's pictures. I know that there's pictures, and you take pictures and you share pictures, but I don't quite get it. And that's how a lot of people get Twitter. But it's grown incredibly. It's no longer about what you're doing, but so much more. Twitter can be an even more effective tool than Facebook in that it can influence those outside of the church community. Like I mentioned, most of our Twitter followers, or I don't want to say most, but a greater percentage of our Twitter followers are those outside of our church than Facebook. Twitter followers can be anybody and everybody that has nothing in the world to do with Faith Baptist Church, so that you have an influence in a different way. Though announcements are good to make on Facebook and church family type things, those are fine to make, those are all good to make. It seems like that those hit the target audience more on Facebook than it does on Twitter. A couple of ideas as it relates to Twitter. Update strategically and regularly, just like Facebook. As this is a church account, it can't be handled like a personal account where one word, quote-unquote, sigh, tweets are normal, or ugh, or, sleepy, something you might put on your personal account. You wouldn't necessarily put that on your church account. A church account is likely to be followed by people that do not attend your church, so tweets need to be a mixture of relevant info for your church members' attendees and general information about your church. Updating regularly is key for keeping people involved. Weeks, even days between updates will cause people to unfollow for what they perceive as being a lack of interest on the part of the church. Number two, follow or don't follow, retweet, and no automatic direct messages. You may choose to follow first and then seek to be followed. You can do that. You may choose to only follow an elect few. I put that just to mix it up a little bit. Elect has so many connotations. You may choose not to follow anyone. Pardon me. Whatever you choose, don't try anything sneaky. There are those on Twitter. If you've been on Twitter, you've seen it. There are those on Twitter who will follow 500 people so that they build up their followers, and then like drop 300 of them. That's just sneaky. Don't do that. As a church, you may choose to follow a bunch of people. You may choose to just follow maybe the staff. Particularly, that's what I have our Twitter set up as. We follow six people. Let's see, we follow Pastor Monty, Pastor Lopez, myself, Stephen. What else we follow? Worldview Ministries and one other. Oh, DeGradia, our cancer care outreach. We follow those six accounts, and that's all we follow. Whatever you want to do. So you choose what you do. Whatever you choose, don't try to do anything sneaky. It won't work. If people know that you're building up your account and then you just drop them after they followed you, it's just sneaky and tacky. Take an interest in what others are saying and retweet them. If anybody tweets anything about the outreach conference here between one of the sessions, I'll retweet it and favorite it. If someone mentions your church, retweet it. You can message back and forth. You'll find that engaging in that way will bring about people who are truly interested in what you tweet. Do not use a service to set up an automated direct message if someone follows you. Some of you may have seen this. If someone, I've seen this happen, and it doesn't bug me, but it might. It's a little bit annoying, I guess. But if someone, what this means is if someone follows your church, there's an automatic direct message generated to them saying, thank you for following, blah, blah, blah. It's not really a big deal, but just you may choose not to do that. If you want to send a direct message, go right ahead, but make it personal. That's probably the thing that's the big issue is personalize your church. Remember, your church on Twitter is probably a place that people don't attend. And so if you make your church, if you have developed some personal, and I don't mean just you, but I mean if your church seems more personable and more interactive with them, then they'll be more likely to then follow and see what you're posting and attend your church possibly. Number three, very, very quickly, engage with those who follow you. Remember, you're tweeting from a corporate account. People will ask questions. Answer them as timely as possible. If you see a compliment, do not retweet them. Reply and thank them. It's okay to retweet them. Don't rely on web interface. I want to move along on the back side. Google Plus. I'll mention this in passing. Google Plus is staking its own claim in the world of social media. It's growing very fast. 25 million visits in 1 month's time. But the jury's still out on Google Plus and how it's gonna fit in there. I want to move along very, very quickly because I got like 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Okay. A video. Media hosting and sharing. Video is becoming an integral part of the church experience, both for broadcasting messages, sermon series previews, and also for church marketing. Used effectively, it could provide great value for your church. SermonAudio.com is an excellent way to host and share your audio sermons. Those looking for sermons can search by passage, by church, speaker, or topic, making this a great source to share sermons. Now, all of our sermons are directly sent up uploaded to sermon audio. Every one of our sermons are. And Stephen, am I correct in saying that the conference workshops, will they go to sermon audio? Every workshop, every general session, the preaching service last night, the preaching service tomorrow, will all go to sermonaudio.com, and you can search that by searching Faith Baptist Church of Avon. A couple other ideas here. Vimeo versus YouTube. Vimeo allows greater, here's just a comparison and contrast. Vimeo allows greater control over your embedded video. Size, quality, title, subtitle are all more customizable through Vimeo. So there's an advantage that Vimeo would have over YouTube if you wanted to use that that video source there. The advantages of YouTube are this. It's huge. YouTube, you can't argue against the mainstream use of it. The ease of sharing and broadcasting across the social media platforms is unparalleled. The power of YouTube size and acceptance can't be overstated. Considering the following statistics, and I got this off of YouTube, I put the website there. 7 billion YouTube videos were viewed in 2010. More than 1 billion unique visitors. Now, these stats are updated. More than 1 billion unique visitors visit YouTube each month. Over 6 billion hours of video are watched each month on YouTube. That's almost an hour for every person on earth. 100 hours of videos are uploaded to YouTube every minute. 80% of YouTube traffic comes from outside the U.S. YouTube is localized in 61 countries across 61 languages. According to Nielsen, YouTube reaches more than U.S. adults ages 18 to 34 than any cable network. So I say all that to say YouTube is an avenue and a venue where our churches can get the gospel of Jesus Christ to an unprecedented amount of people. Our church in the past has just dabbled in YouTube. It's our goal to this year use it to in a greater extent. Thank you so much for coming. If you've got any questions, comments, or anything, please feel free to give me a shot through email or on Twitter. All that information is on your sheets. Thank you. You are dismissed to the next workshop. How you doing, buddy? Can I have this? Thank you.
You are next in conference room two.
Conference two, all right.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you, C. Hank.
Thank you.